Praise and thanks be to the Lord for his grace and faithfulness, for what he has done for us all by his grace. For my part, I do not want to have failed to give you all a very warm welcome. I particularly felt what it means to be welcomed on last Wednesday, when we were welcomed by a whole number of brothers and sisters at Düsseldorf Airport after our 5-week absence. That's when I got an idea of what a welcome actually means. It was joy, it was flowers, it was hugs, it was everything that makes you feel, here you have friends, here you have brothers, here you have sisters, here you are at home. And on top of all that, when we came home, there was a big sign, welcome, hanging on our own house. That was fabulous. The cake was there. Everything was there. That was a welcome. And we hope that as a local church here, we have something similar of welcome ready for all of you. We want you to feel that we mean it sincerely and warmly. Even though we may be limited in what we can do, but the love of God is limitless. We wish that we could reveal and communicate this love of God to each and everyone, again and again. Love communicates. We have seen that. We have experienced that. Earthly love shows itself. It has the urge to be seen. And the love of God was manifested all the more in Jesus Christ, our Lord. A songwriter sings, O God's love, so full and free, from of old and ever new. When we look to Golgotha and ponder what has been given to us through the love of God, then we know how good God has meant it with us all. No mouth can express. The thoughts we have cannot fathom it. Just now we sang together, open are the pearly gates. For people who were lost, who were born in sin, who were condemned, who should have gone down to hell. But now, through the blood of the Lamb, saved, receiving forgiveness of all iniquity and sin, being certain of being partakers of eternal life. Oh, this is a grace that cannot just be described in words. But in our hearts, we already feel a little of what we will experience on the other side with our God and with all the reconciled, with all the redeemed, with all the pardoned. It is already glorious here, but as long as we are on earth, some things will not be as we would like them to be. And there is a reason for that. So that we don't feel at home here on earth, but are torn away more and more in order to be free from everything that binds us. Another songwriter sings, "Tear me loose from the earth, make my faith great, give me a faithful mind, take me whole, my Jesus." These are not just words. We say like this here. We mean it. Another hymn writer sings, "To be half redeemed is of the evil one. That is not enough for the soul. Full salvation, our Bible teaches." We can go on reciting and quoting what moved the poets and what moves us all. There is nothing more beautiful than to sing of God's love, than to sing of God's grace, and to worship Him for what He has done for all of us. And Psalm 103 states, "Do not forget all His benefits." That can happen too, that we forget when it's been a while. After all, we sing in the one chorus, "Remember, we are human, forgetful and weak." But the Lord reminds us again and again of what He has done for us. He has redeemed our lives from destruction and crowned us with mercy and with loving kindness. We can be sure that He who forgives our sins heals all our infirmities. One cannot be separated from the other. The same God has given the promise to deliver us from destruction. He has done that. Is it true or not? He has given the promise to heal all our infirmities. Did He do it? Yes, sir, He did. And if we confess that by faith and stand on the victory ground of Calvary, then the enemy must leave. Then the Lord God will be able to manifest His mighty victory in all of us. And as it is written, faith is the victory that has overcome the world. Not a belief, but the faith wrought by the Spirit of God, founded on the Holy Word, is the victory that has already overcome the world. I hope that all to whom this way of preaching is new or strange, that you will nevertheless be blessed. We were all strangers to the full gospel, but when we realized that we had been deprived of blessings and led astray in the past, and suddenly we realized God leads us into the light and gives us the rich goods of His house and lets us lack absolutely nothing. What else could God have done in addition to what He has done since ancient times? Did He not speak? Has He not revealed His plan of salvation? Has He not sent His servants and prophets at all times, as it is written? Has He not made us know all His ways in the Old and New Testament? Has He not even let us look into eternity, what He has prepared for those who love Him? Our God is a glorious God, a wonderful God. I only wish that right in the first meeting we could give free rein to the Spirit of God. I guess I have seldom rejoiced so much about the Lord's speaking as I read the last song in tongues now. I have just been allowed to rejoice so much, to rejoice so heartily, how gracious and how merciful our God is. how faithful, how he can shape the words in a man's mouth. Who could write poetry so quickly? I was so overwhelmed and so glad in my inner being to know, as we read here once from the Word of God, my spirit ruleth in your midst. That's all we want, that's all we need. Not the spirit of man, but the spirit of God should rule in our midst. He should guide and direct everything. He shall speak. He shall reveal. He shall lead into all truth. Oh, that the Spirit of God could have free room in all of us. That the last ambiguities could be removed. That all of us, as my beloved brother has already said, would take the word into ourselves, not to speak about it afterwards, but like Mary, to ponder on it in our hearts, to reflect on it, to immerse ourselves in it. Then it becomes a living revelation to us, and we see things we never saw before. Who is here for the first time tonight? May I ask that you raise your hands?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11. Yes, there too. About 15. About 15 brothers and sisters. I welcome you once again, so that you know that you are welcome. And I especially wish you God's blessing and hope that everything that is said will fall on fertile ground and bear fruit a hundredfold, according to what the Lord has promised. You all know we could talk about many things from the Holy Scripture. Our topic could be healing of the sick. It could be the rapture. You could choose many Bible topics to talk about them. But you know, you have to stick to what has been given by God for this hour. And we must never disregard the fact that we are now living in a prophetic age, and that we are not just talking about the basic Bible truths, about doctrines, as it probably says in Hebrews chapter 6. We don't want to lay again the foundation of repentance and of the doctrine of baptism and so forth, but let us go on unto perfection. And Paul says elsewhere, as many of us as are now perfect, let us be like-minded. We need to be introduced into the mysteries of God in this time. And I think we have heard sermons on every Bible subject in the past. But as I said before, we are now living in a prophetic age. By this term is meant nothing less and nothing more than that in our time, Bible prophecy is being fulfilled anew, and that God is watching over His Word to fulfill it. He opens our eyes so that we can see what He has done in the course of the New Covenant, and especially at the end of time, in what a way He spoke to His people. And if you have all been careful in reading the Word of God, you will find that all of Paul's letters bring instruction for the church. He wrote about the gifts of the Spirit, about the resurrection, about the judgment, about the transformation, about the rapture, about many, many. Yes, about all Bible doctrines that were ordained for the church. In all these letters, he presented Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the crucified one, to the people. And he that believeth on the Son of God has everlasting life. In the epistles, all instruction concerning the church is given up to the prophetic part in the plan of salvation, which is set forth in a special way in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. And if we pay proper attention to what we read, we find that among the nine gifts of the Spirit, which are for the edification of the church, is the gift of prophecy and the other gifts of the Spirit. But when it comes to the prophetic part, we see Jesus Christ walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks as the Son of Man, out of whose mouth comes a sharp, a two-edged sword. And then in the book of Revelation, we read nothing more of the ordinance about baptism, about the Lord's Supper, about the gifts of the Spirit, or any other Bible doctrines. When we look into the book of Revelation, then we hear a voice like thunder. Then we hear revelations of the living God. Then we are transferred into heavenly places by the Holy Spirit. Just as John was taken up by the Spirit of God to see that which is and was and is to come, and it was revealed to him. You have to see that to understand what it means when God ordains a prophetic ministry for the church and reveals it. Most people only see what is set forth in the epistles. They teach, and they don't realize that in terms of the plan of salvation, we have already come through all these church ages and are now at the end of the time of grace, and that a prophetic part has to be fulfilled according to the word of prophecy. That's what people are stumbling over. That's what they don't realize. If somebody reads from Romans 7, they all understand that. Also from Romans 8. And from all these descriptions of the Word of God, for which we are all grateful. But a Paul, he could say then, that which was hidden from the children of men from the beginning, that is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. What was it then? Paul not only had the order for the practical things in the church, he had to place according to the plan of salvation. Suddenly, when he preached, we can read it, Acts 13, and the Jews reject, then he knows what a word applies, and he says, it is written, I have made you a light to the Gentiles. And when the Gentiles heard it, they rejoiced, and all who were ordained to eternal life believed. He knew, as a man sent from God, as a prophet, as an apostle, that he not only had to teach about the Lord's Supper and baptism and resurrection and these things, but suddenly, when God begins something new in terms of the plan of salvation, then he has to place it biblically. Then he has to take the prophetic word and show God's people, here is now fulfilled what God has spoken through the mouth of his servants. The same thing has happened in this time, and it takes a prophetic ministry to rightly divide the word of prophecy. You can read very quickly in Peter, you have a more sure word of prophecy. The word of prophecy was had by all the scribes throughout all the ages since it was written down. But they did not have the revelation of the prophetic word, and therein lay the error. The word of prophecy alone, without the revelation, remains a dead letter. But the moment divine revelation comes, divine light comes, and we see the way of God clearly before us, and we can walk it, then, when it is written in Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3, at the end of each message, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say unto the churches. Then this word is not in connection with the operation of a gift of the Spirit, but always in connection with the message given for the age. Do we understand this? Every time, at the end of every church age message, not at the end of a prophecy, not at the end of any operation of a spiritual gift, but at the end of every single church age message, we hear the admonition, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The gifts of the Spirit in the church are for the edification of the church, and we rejoice in every manifestation of the Spirit. But the prophetic part must not be neglected. And there are enough people today who think up and down the country that when they have brought a prophecy, then the Spirit of God has already done everything that needs to be done. No, the Spirit of God gives what is necessary for the edification of the church. The Spirit of God can send any Philip, he can send anyone to give a revelation that is of great importance to an individual or to the church. But when it comes to God's plan of salvation, when it comes to what is to be prophetically placed, then we have to take the word of prophecy and the spirit of revelation we must have, so that we are led into this revelation of God. I am so glad that it is written right at the beginning of Revelation that the angel was sent to John not only to show him, it is literally written to show his servants what is to happen. If it had only been shown to John, we would all be on our beam ends. But in terms of the plan of salvation, it was decided in God's plan that all true servants of God would receive the revelation of the Spirit through the prophetic word in their time. That was certain. And dear brothers and sisters, there is a big difference. Many of God's children say they have the Holy Spirit, but it says of John, he was in the Spirit. There is certainly a little difference between saying we have the Spirit or whether the Spirit has us, whether he has really taken possession of our thinking, of our whole being. A man like John, he no longer saw what he wanted to see. He saw what God wanted to show him. He no longer saw earthly images. He saw what God revealed to him in glory. Brothers and sisters, if we can get to the point where we can be in the Spirit, be transferred in the Spirit, into what God wants to show and reveal to us. I have set it forth here in this place. When you talk about Jesus Christ revealing himself as the Son of God, then everybody believes that, and people are happy. But why does the Bible speak of the last final revelation being as the Son of Man? Luke 17, from verse 30. After the Savior said, as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom and so forth, then comes the verse, so it will be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. And already this term, Son of Man, conveys to us or brings us into the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, just as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, brings us into the redemptive part of the plan of salvation. When we think of redemption, we think of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In Him we have become sons of God. When we think of the millennium, we think of Jesus Christ as the Son of David, who will sit on His throne and reign. But when we think of the prophetic part, we see Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And in the last book, in Revelation, He does not walk as the Son of God in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, but as it is written, as the Son of Man, Son of Man. And He did not go about healing and raising the dead. His voice was like the sound of many waters. His voice was like a two-edged sword. His voice was the main thing in this revelation as the Son of Man. And those who do not understand this cannot know the manner in which the Lord has now revealed Himself at the end of the time of grace. Most preachers, they want the Lord to reveal Himself as they have been used to for centuries, that everything remains the same. With God, not everything stays the same. God brings forth the old and makes it new and says, I do this according to my word among my people. And in doing so, He tests who believes Him and who is willing to go the whole way of divine revelation with Him. We know that when the Savior healed the sick, after He had healed a few, they brought many more. But when He then began to bring the word, then the many became few, until the Lord had to say to His disciples, will you also depart from Me? And then came these words, where shall we go? Only you have words of eternal life. And the same is repeating in this time. After the mighty revival that God gave in all countries after the Second World War, according to the reports that one can read, the prophetic part has come to fulfillment. And here it means going one step further with God, coming out of the camp, as we have often said, for Christ Himself is outside the church. And most people don't understand that. They all sing in the church as if He's in there, but He's outside. And the idea of the word that He's outside is that He could not call us out if He Himself was still inside. But because He was rejected and crucified anew in this generation because of what He did, that is why He's outside. And because He's rejected outside, He calls us all out. For we are also rejected. We are also rejected. We are also misunderstood by all those who do not understand what God is doing in this time. But he who is rejected by men is far from being rejected by God. And as Brother Bram said, better to be kicked out here and fly in there than to stay in here and to be out there. That's the best thing that can happen to a person. I actually had a scripture. There are so many thoughts that move me. Here is a word in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, here it says, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children, especially this statement, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. What is a meeting called together for? Just that we might see each other? No, that we might experience God, that we might hear the words of God, and that they might go through our bones, and that we might finally realize that we have nothing at all to say. How often people feel important and think they have something to say. Here it is written, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. That is our desire. Whenever the people of God are called together, it is not to hear a man's interpretation of God's word, but to hear the word of God itself. For heaven and earth, and also all interpretations will pass away, but God's word remains forever. In Moses' time, the Lord had done something extraordinary. The pillar of fire came down, the people were delivered, great miracles and signs took place, and the Lord had every reason to call his people together. He had living words for them, words of instruction, revelation, rebuke, and he said to Moses, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. Every time God calls us together as his people, he wants us to hear his words. And his word is a word of revelation, of rebuke. His word is a light on our path. How can we see the way of God clearly enough in this time? But only when his word is given to us. And dear brothers and sisters, we are not interested in any interpretation, no matter how pious. We want God's word as the original seed. Is it true or not? God's word planted in our hearts as the original seed will bring forth original fruit by the grace of our God. Already in the beginning, God gave every plant, every living thing, the possibility that the seed was there so that the same thing could come forth again. So it is with the word of God. It cannot return void. In this last time, there must come a harvest of the sowed seed of the word of God. Perhaps we have not yet seen the harvest. Perhaps it has all been sowing that has been done so far. And when you hear and read the many letters from the radio broadcasts, one thing always rings through, that people have hesitated. They have listened and listened and absorbed and did not have the courage to write and say, man, the light has dawned on us. But then comes the day and the hour when they have the courage to say, the word has struck us. We have been able to distinguish that we were not told stories and fairy tales, but that it is God's holy word. That is what we need and nothing else. Everything else will pass away. And as surely as all Bible teachings have and keep their place, so surely, at the end of time, this prophetic teaching will be added, so that God's people may be informed in what manner the way to the perfection of the bride church of Jesus Christ is going forward. We cannot follow the program of the people because there are so many programs and everyone thinks they have the right program switched on. No, we have to get the connection up. All the programs that are going on this earth, no matter from which station, that has nothing to say to us. We want, like John on the Isle of Patmos, we want to be torn away from the earth and be transferred into the heavenly realm in order to hear what the Spirit has really said to the church in this time. Then we will succeed to look away from everything else. You all know, on earth there are many possibilities, and people can choose this program and that program, and they can arrange things according to their taste. But with God, it is different. God has one program, and there none of us can choose. God has already determined that this program runs from the beginning of time to the end of time. God's program runs according to plan. We just need to have tuned it right. We have to have the antenna. It all has to be right. The connection has to be there. And dear brothers and sisters, that is why God is calling His people together, to let them hear His word, to show them most clearly that He has a program running. We can look back in church history today and see the program of our God as it has gone on. But do we see it in our time? That is the question. The people of Israel were led out with a mighty hand. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They could have been in the land in no time. But the scripture says, they did not know my ways. That in my wrath I swore they should not enter into my rest. The people of the Lord, confirmed by mighty deeds, under the leadership of the pillar of fire, then in the end, God had no pleasure in them. And all those of the first generation of 20 years and above, they entered not into the land of promise. Because God was angry with them, because of their stubbornness, and because of their wickedness. And He said, they shall not enter into my rest. But the younger generation that was born, that wasn't so stubborn, they went in. It looks like God the Lord, by grace, you don't want to say it, but even in this last time, as long as God's servant and prophet was here on earth, people didn't understand at all. And I've met enough people who can say, huh, we've been here and there with Brother Branham. I don't want to use that word, but I have to use it. I've met too many who are perverted. But I have met a young generation, people, who have then heard what God has done and have received it gratefully. It doesn't count if we were there somewhere or not. What matters is whether we are there today, whether we recognize the way of our God with His people today and walk it. That is what matters. No one could say back then that we were with Moses. That didn't count at all. The question is whether we are with God and whether God is with us. Even being with a prophet has not helped anyone, unless God could be with that person as He was with a prophet. Otherwise, none of this helps at all. Naturally minded people bask in under the rays that have come down, and that doesn't help them at all in the long run. We want God to be with us. We want to see the clear path of our God in this time. And I believe the Lord has made us sober enough that we don't just look back to the year 33 when God foretold mighty things. We don't look back to the year 46 when God gave the commission. Nor do we even look back to the year 65 when God took His servant and prophet, We look all the way back to Almighty God to recognize Him in what He does. And we live today not in the year 33, and not in the year 46, and not in the year 65. We are living today in the year 74, and we need to recognize the ways of God with His people today. Otherwise, we've missed the connection. And then we stop at the station, and the train leaves. May God give us, as we sincerely mean it, who wish to stand before Him, the grace to place all things biblically. And you know very well that there are plenty of people who just misconstrue the ministry of a man of God, that in the end it becomes an idolatry. I have seen it and heard it. But there is a people in whose spirit is the Word of God, in whose spirit is clarity and truth, a people who are not seduced by anything into idolatry, but have the true worship. And the true worship consists in being able to worship in spirit and in truth. And in spirit and in truth, we can only worship if what we believe and what we teach is 100% the Bible truth, inspired by the Spirit of God. There's no other way. In an interpretation, there is neither spirit nor truth, but God's Word is spirit and life. God's Word is truth. And whoever is in the Word of God can worship in spirit and in truth. We give everyone the place they deserve. A prophet, the place of a prophet, but not the other way around. We do not reverse roles. We don't want to. All honor, all praise, all worship is due to the one who is worthy of it, and that is the Lamb. I have had to say clearly that all these things, whether the opening of the seals or anything else, how often do you hear so lightly, especially overseas, that people say, "Oh, Brother Bram, open the seals." I have said that is absolutely not true. My Bible says the Lion of the tribe of Judah overcame to take the book and loose the seals to reveal what is written in it. A prophet receives what the Lamb of God gives, and we all receive through the ministry of a prophet. He is practically like a mediator, if you want to put it that way. For the Lord God uses a human being. And then again, there are people who think they know the Word of God, and they twist a rope around their own neck. How many times have I heard people come and say, Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times spoke through the prophets, but now in the last days He spoke in His Son, Jesus Christ. And then they make the full stop, and then it's finished. Then nothing more comes for them at all. That's the last word for them in the Bible. There's nothing more to come. Why is it like that? They do not have the spirit of revelation. If the writer of the letter to the Hebrews could stand here tonight, he would tell us, "Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I have drawn a line under the ministry of all the prophets of the Old Testament and proved that everything they prophesied has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ." Is it true or not? But he did not draw a line for a New Testament. The same Lord who redeemed us said, "I will send prophets to you." And he said, "It is written, I have placed in the church apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists, even to the promise, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." But what is it? You have to have the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God properly. Otherwise, you take a word and do great mischief with the word. Shall I tell you that an unauthorized person does much more mischief with the Word of God than he helps? He robs people of God's blessing and does not even know it himself, and even thinks to be very clever. God's word must be read correctly. The writer of Hebrews, he saw that in Christ Jesus, all the promises that all the prophets proclaimed from the beginning of time, they have been fulfilled. And he emphasized it, but it only brought the Old Testament to a close, to now open a door for God to send apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists into the church to proclaim the riches of God's grace. If someone thinks that the scripture from the prophet Malachi does not apply to a prophet who would come to the nations, because in the Old Testament, these promises are always interspersed like a jewel somewhere, and if you can't read properly, then there is a danger that you can't place these things. But when you read about the two prophets who will go to Israel, to Jerusalem, we read in Zechariah chapter 4, where the golden lampstand is shown by two olive trees, one standing on the right and the other standing on the left, next to the lampstand. And if you then take this scripture from Zechariah 4, you will find it again in Revelation chapter 11. For there the writer writes literally, "These are the two olive trees that stand before the Lord of the earth." Zechariah 4. But when it comes to the one prophet, nobody finds him in Revelation 11. The promise of the prophet for the nations is in the singular, and the two prophets for Israel, that's in the plural. You have to see that. Brothers and sisters, we must have a foundation that is unshakable. Not just anyone can come and somehow apply a crowbar to this foundation and say, "Now I'm going to shake you." There is no shaking. The word of our God is rock solid. It is a revelation to those who are in the Holy Spirit and who can see and hear it. If people want to shake, let them shake their foundation, because that is shaky anyway. But it shakes without them shaking. What we need is a firm, unshakable foundation of the revealed word in this time. And fairy tales, we all don't believe. We are too good for that. But the precious word of God, we believe with all our heart and soul. Even the Savior has said, after John's ministry, that he will send the prophet who has to restore all things. And Peter says it in Acts 3, verse 21. That the heaven must receive Christ until the times of restoration of all that God has spoken by the mouth of his servants and prophets since the world began. This is God's word. No one can pass it by, but it requires divine revelation. You cannot go with this word to any scribe or preacher to whom it has not been revealed by God. He will not understand it. How often do we get mail that people who are sincere, they hear about a brother and it is said he's blessed, and then they go and ask that blessed brother, and the blessed brother says, "Oh, this is a very dangerous thing." It's not that dangerous. It's not as dangerous as the blessed brother thinks it is. Because if he was really blessed, he would know where the word of the promise of blessing is. Do you know where it is written? Blessed are they that read and hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Therein rests the blessing. The English translation literally has the word, "Blessed is everyone who reads the words and hears them," not like as in German, "Saved is he." What is it? A blessing for the church to recognize what the Spirit of God has worked in this time. And we are open enough to say that we are grateful for the evangelistic ministry, for all the blessings, for all the teachings. But we were very taken with the prophetic part. We were able to orient ourselves through it. We have been given the compass in our hand of faith. We know the direction of travel. We can put things in order. That's wonderful, isn't it? If we can't place things yet, it's high time for it. The Spirit of God puts things in order. He places us as the body of Jesus Christ, as members into this body. And He places everything that is to be given to the church doctrinally and by revelation. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "What good would I be to you if I came to you and could not speak words of instruction and prophetic revelation to you?" Many want to be a Paul today, like the one brother in Luxembourg who had no more money to travel, and he said, "I travel like Paul." God does not need such Pauls. God needs men who are full of the Holy Spirit, who can look into the heavenly glory, who know what they're talking about. Otherwise, we will be like the man who referred to Paul, and the man said, "I know Paul and Christ, but who are you?" And he put him in his place. God needs people who are led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. People who are called together in the fear of God to hear the word of the Lord. I wish that all those who think we don't see things right, that they would come one day to be gripped by the hand of God, to be overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, so that they would know that we know what we are talking about. We say nothing other than what God's Word tells us. Jesus Christ, according to His promise, wanted to reveal Himself in the end as the Son of Man. And if you don't believe this word right off the bat, I'm not angry about it. Everyone has the right and should check. Read Luke 17. Don't just read verse 30. You can continue reading 34 later, and you will see what is written there. Two shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, one shall be left behind. Two shall be in one field. One shall be taken, the other left behind. Immediately after that, where Jesus Christ speaks of revealing Himself as the Son of Man, it is written of the rapture. Yes, then I ask you, does God's Word have anything to say to you or not? What are we waiting for at this time? How many times has Brother Ram said that the last sign that will be given to the church, she sees it now? It was the same sign of divine revelation. The thoughts of the heart were revealed. As to a Philip, and as the Lord told to Nathanael and to all the people, so He did in the prophetic ministry in our time. It was the last sign. Jesus Christ revealed Himself in a simple way. The trouble with all of us, we are all too complicated and want to make a big deal out of the cause of God. The cause of God is great, but only for the children of God, not in our eyes, not in the eyes of men. In the eyes of the people, nothing will ever be great that God does. Have you ever heard any man, any wise man, if there are such people at all, they are fools in the eyes of God anyway, but have you ever heard such people somehow speak favorably of something that God has done? Have you ever met a doctor who, when he hears that someone has been healed, immediately he gives a pill to the person who says something like that and questions it? He doesn't want to give honor to anyone else. He thinks that's what he is there for. And as Brother Ram said, the doctors take their own medicine and they also die. What we need today is the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the Church of the Living God. I hope that the last doubts will be removed, brothers and sisters. We can no longer afford to doubt. And I said it on Wednesday night, Brother Bosford said, if anyone wants to doubt, let him doubt his doubts, but never doubt God or His Word. And we must take that to heart. God's Word gives no room for doubt, God's word is real and true and trustworthy. The word of God in our time was two-edged. It was sharp. It struck in every way. The word of God has come and gone. Everywhere it has cut, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to make manifest, as it is written, a sword shall pierce into thy soul, and the thoughts of men shall be made manifest. They have been made manifest in this time. They said, if this man was from God, then he wouldn't do things this way. The same they did with our Savior, or not. They said, if this man were of God, then he would not do the things on the Sabbath. And he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, let me alone. But people come and want to say, if that were so, what do they have to say anyway? When God speaks, God's people are to be called together to hear the words of his revelation. And everyone else is supposed to be silent, even the preachers. They have been talking long enough. They should now be silent in order to hear what the Spirit of God has actually revealed through the prophetic message in order to find the connection to the work of God. There is no other way. Everyone has his own program. Everything is planned for the far future. Our future is the Savior. We know that he will return soon. How many of you understand with all your heart that the prophetic revelation in these last days was just like in the days when the Lord Jesus walked here on earth and let the people know the sign of the Messiah and told them who they are, where they come from, and revealed the secrets of their heart? Like when he went to Abraham and said, how can I keep secret from you what I intend to do? The time of Sodom's destruction was nearing, and the Lord came and revealed it to his prophet Abraham. In the same way, the Lord has revealed himself in these days. Brothers and sisters, it is as clear as it can be now. But it has taken me a long time to see it, and everyone needs his time. We are not angry with anyone who doesn't see it on the spot. I say again, we all need our time. We are not angry with anyone, but we believe it with all our hearts. Whether we get things together already or not, we know what God does is well done, and what God does has a meaning and a purpose. We do many things that are meaningless to the point of no purpose, but not God. Everything God does has a meaning and a purpose. That much I understood back in 1955, when I saw the ministry of this man of God, that there must be a meaning and purpose of God behind such an authority, behind such a ministry. And over the years, God has led and guided into all the depths of his word through the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks as the Son of Man. Read it for yourself, Revelation 1, verse 13, and see if it is not true. And that brings us back to Luke 17, verse 30. And after this last revelation as the Son of Man, we read of the rapture. Two will grind at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left behind. In the same 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, you think this is coincidence? God knows no coincidence. God does not need coincidence, and neither do we. What is written is true and endures for all eternity. The Lord has revealed himself in this time according to his precious and holy word. As the Son of God, he has saved, healed, blessed. As the Son of Man, he has revealed the prophetic word and given it to the church. He is both. He is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man, he is the Son of David. He is all in all. We just have to put it in the right place. And just like those men of God at the beginning of the New Testament, They didn't just say what was happening. They placed biblically to show the church that a part of the plan of salvation was being fulfilled here. And that is what it is all about. The last part of the plan of salvation is being fulfilled in our time. And when we can place this biblically, then our heart rejoices and exults. Then we have recognized the way of God. Then he has not spoken in vain. Then we have come into the Holy of Holies to hear and understand his voice. We don't just want to have the Spirit of God. We want the Spirit of God to have us, and that he could lead and guide us in our thoughts, in our heart, in all that we do. And it is written, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. John had been brought to the Isle of Patmos for the purpose that the church might be prophetically instructed to the end, that she can find her way around, and that the Spirit of God may take the written word and reveal it in due time. Gather me, my people, that I may speak my words to them. That is the only reason we are here together today and in these days. Gather me, my people, that I may speak my words to them. And his words are spirit and are life. His words are instruction, correction. They penetrate. His words show us the way to go. As it is written, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This precious word of God has been enlightened to us at this time by the Holy Spirit. This prophetic word that Peter speaks of shines as a bright light in a dark place. What about us tonight? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He saves, he heals, he blesses. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He speaks, he reveals, he makes himself known. He has not only taken the part of redemption to redeem us from destruction and to heal us of sickness, not only to save, for that we are grateful that he did, but that is only one part of what God has given us by grace. Jesus Christ is at the same time the Son of Man. He speaks. He lifts up his voice. And he wants all to hear what he has said at this time. And when we read in Revelation 1, seven stars are in his right hand, and the seven stars are the seven angels to the seven churches. And then we read seven messages, each addressed to the angel of the church. And at the end of each message that was addressed to the angel, who must then communicate this, what God would reveal at that time to the church. And then it's written, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now I ask you the question, who hears in this time what the Spirit says to the church? Who hears? Or what does the hearing consist of that the Bible speaks of there in that context? What does it consist of? The message is addressed to the angel of the church, to the messenger of God. And this messenger of God brings the message in the church age. And at the end of each message is written, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May we take the liberty tonight and say that anyone who receives and believes the word revealed by the Spirit of God, as brought by the messenger sent by God in that particular age through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, he hears what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Is it true or not? It is as true as it is written in the Bible. Somebody cannot come here and say, I tell you now what the Spirit says to the churches. He doesn't know it himself. It's the messenger whom God has chosen. And no one can take that position. No one can say, so Lord, I will now. The Lord himself says who shall and who shall not. He prepares his vessels. We have to respect that. We have to acknowledge that. God has in this time, and we confess this with great frankness, with all openness, with a good conscience before God and before men. The Lord God has sent his servant and prophet, has given him the message of prophetic revelation and instruction for his people in this time. And whoever wants to hear what the Spirit says to the churches in this time, let him hear the message of God for this time. This is as clear as the Bible can make it. And to whom it is given to understand this, he will be blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. He will be able to overcome. For right afterwards it is written, to him that overcometh will I give. And then comes the promise. Who can overcome but he who receives the word of God revealed through the Holy Spirit, who is united with God? Jesus Christ was the word made flesh. And that same word must become flesh in us. We must become one with the Word, one with Christ, one with one another. And then we are on the right path, classified by God, to be able to be overcomers. How much do people talk about overcoming? People want to overcome with their own words and with their own strength. How much do people talk about holiness and sanctification? And people mean themselves and all that they have done and achieved. The Bible speaks of the sanctification of the Spirit. Have you ever read? Of the sanctification of the Spirit. And the Bible speaks of cleansing ourselves from all uncleanness of the flesh and spirit. And this time has come. You can no longer mix two things together. The time has come when no one should speak unless he has understood the speaking of God, and he knows how to classify things in the fear of God, to set forth the plan of salvation to the people of God and tell them what it is all about. The Lord had the seven stars in his right hand, and a sword came out of his mouth, a mighty word, and we heard it in our time. We can look back and see what God has done. To this day, we can see the work of our God in his church. And for that we are thankful. We do not exalt any human being, but we also do not humiliate anyone. We exalt God and leave it up to him whom he exalts and whom he humbles. But we leave everyone where God has placed them, a pole in the context in which he stands. Somebody said to me overseas these days, he said, Brother Frank, have you ever thought how many times the name Moses is used in the first five books of the Old Testament? I said, no, I haven't. I can't remember right now. Was it 600 times? In any case, it was a fabulously large number. How many times the name Moses was used in the context of his ministry he performed for God? Today, if you mention the name of the servant of God, whom the Lord used in such a tremendous way, then the puppets are dancing. I don't know why. Let God do what he wanted to do and rejoice in it. Then you will also be used. But first, we have to rejoice that he used someone else and made him a blessing. We can't change it anyway. Or can you change it? If you can change it, do it. You have time enough? No human being can change it. What God has done remains done. You can be angry about it and be put to shame. And you can rejoice over it and be built up. I want to rejoice in it and not be angry with it. The Lord says, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. He that is offended shall fall. And what is written? He that is offended at the rock of offense shall fall, and the rock will crush him. Is it true or not? It is no use at all for us to dwell on the ways of God in any way. They are not there to dwell on them. They are there to walk on the paved way of our God in this time. And every person who has experienced and understood the biblical order is not offended at all. It makes him no pain. Things go very well for him. He doesn't fall in darkness either, because he walks in the light. And the Bible says that he who walks in the dark does not know where he's going, and he falls. But he who walks in the light does not stumble. Brothers and sisters, what else do we stumble at? If, then it's a proof that we have not yet fully grasped and recognized the evening light or walk in it. He who has grasped this no longer stumbles at all. He has been set free and has become a joyful child of God by his grace. Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words. That is what this time is all about. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. You could extend that thought as long as you like. Whenever God had a message, he would sound the trumpet and call the people together and announce what he had to say to them. God has sounded a mighty trumpet in our day. We have come together to hear his word. And he says, I have revealed myself as the Son of Man. After all the time that I have revealed myself as the Son of God and shown myself to be alive and have saved and healed and blessed, I have now opened my mouth to give the prophetic word for the enlightenment and edification of the church. He would say that to all of us today. And then he says, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Have we all understood that? Really understood that the ministry we have witnessed in these days was not a ministry of a man, but the ministry of the Lord, revealed and made known through a simple instrument. The instrument is not the one who used it or made it. To the Lord God is due all honor, all praise, all glory, in time and in eternity. We do not give thanks to the servant for coming. We give thanks to God for sending a servant. Thanks always goes to one address. You can't thank two people. The Lord is one God. And he says, I give my glory to no other. If you want to give thanks to the living God. That's always the right address. And always do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it always comes to our Heavenly Father, who looks down upon us in grace, even tonight, and says, my people, have I not called you all together to let you know my words anew, to speak to your hearts once more, to tell you once more definitely, believe me, what I have done in this time is right. It is right, if you can believe it and grasp it, and not dwell on this and that is not good. What is not good for you? I ask you, what is not good for you? I don't mean you who are here, but those who hear the tapes. After all, there are other sheep that God still wants to call to bring them into the right fold. But we all know very well that many people find fault with everything but themselves. And therein lies the great mistake. God has spoken to us in this generation, has called us together from east and west, from south and north, from far and wide, and has said, I will let you know my words. And his words are words of revelation, are words of instruction, of rebuke. May the Lord succeed to give us the freedom of his Spirit in this place, even though you are all here, so that everyone can forget himself. And we can open ourselves before the face of our God to receive his blessing. I usually tell people to start the blessing at the beginning of the meeting so that they have it at the end. Most wait with the blessing until the end and then get nervous and may not have it. But whoever starts to take the blessing of God and receiving it at the beginning of a meeting has a whole lot of blessing at the end. You have to rejoice every time you come together like a little child over every thought that God tells us in His Word. Then the blessing comes and we are flooded with the power of the living God. If it goes on like this throughout the whole meeting, then at the end we have so many blessings that when we say, now we pray, then 20 people pray at once. Why? They have received the blessing of God throughout the whole meeting. They have taken it in. And then when the opportunity is given, it bursts forth like a fountain. The Lord said it. Of the Spirit that should come upon us. And the Spirit is always there where the Word is. There is also the Spirit of God to make the Word alive, to reveal it, to make it clear to the individual. And already it breaks forth. He said, the water that I will give, it will become a spring, a fountain in you that springs up and gushes forth into eternal life. What kind of spring is that? A fountain of God bursting forth in us out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. Just think of it. Millions of people who are all better than us who are sitting here today, they pass by God and God's Word as if it had nothing to say to them. Here is a heap of wretched people without reputation, rank or name, but pardoned by God to hear His revealed Word in these last days. And we can say tonight, blessed are your eyes that see what God has done and your ears that hear it, what He has done in this time. For He has truly fulfilled His Word and kept His promises. And all who believe Him will be blessed. They will be flooded with the power of the Holy Spirit. It becomes a living reality to them. It is as if they are sitting in a room with God, watching how He has planned, how He has ordered things, how He puts them together. In the Spirit, we see the Lord God at work. He is in the process of completing His work. The Word of restoration He has given us, and the power is on its way. Praise and thanks. You know the story of Job. The same God will give a restoration that will be seen and heard. A restoration with power and authority among those who have persevered in faith, who have held fast in all contempt, and yet knew that my Redeemer liveth, and He will speak the last word, and at the end of days He will reveal Himself. Job held fast to that. We hold fast to that. As the last, He will reveal Himself and will lift up His people and crown them with mercy and loving kindness and bless them and then take them up into His glory. How could He say, come ye blessed of my Father, if He had not blessed us first? Do you get what I mean? First He must bless us mightily so that He can say, come ye blessed. Yes, that's quite clear. It cannot be otherwise. Come ye blessed of my Father. Yes, whoever is blessed by the Heavenly Father is and remains blessed. As God said to Abraham, as He said to Israel, what I have blessed, that I have blessed. No one can turn that around. This one man wanted to curse. God says, I have blessed. It cannot be turned. Dear brothers and sisters, our God is faithful. He has blessed in these days. He has called together a people worthy to hear His words. First, we see Christ as the Son of God on the cross of Calvary. We see Him bleeding to death. We see Him with His arms stretched out to us. We have received forgiveness of sins, have received eternal life, and then now we see Jesus Christ as the Son of Man walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now he speaks to the redeemed, to those whom he purchased. He blesses them, he introduces them to the deepest mysteries of his word and his will. We can sing along with the hymn writer, "Glory to you, the Lamb of God. Your sacrifice is perfect. From our guilt and sin, you have set us free. We are a nation of priests, kings in thy kingdom. Where is there a people on earth like yours?" May God richly bless and have blessed us this evening. Amen. Let us rise. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, O God, for your manifold speaking. Faithful Savior, you reveal yourself as the Son of God. You save, you heal, you deliver, you operate all nine gifts of the Spirit in the Church as the Son of God, for blessing, for edification, for encouragement, for comfort, for improvement. Yes, you walk as the Son of God to reveal yourself in this way, to make yourself known in blessing. Then we behold you as the Son of Man. You open your mouth, speak words of revelation, of the word of prophecy, O God, and let us see into your plan of salvation. We want both, Jesus Christ. We want to experience you as the Son of God, in the power of your resurrection, hallelujah, in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to experience you as the Son of Man, in the full revelation of your holy and wonderful word. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are all in all. Blessed are you. Praised and blessed are you for all eternity. Bless all who have lifted up their hands. You know what they need. Be close to them. Crown them with mercy and loving kindness, to whom you have already revealed yourself as Son of God, through salvation, through healing, through deliverance, through blessing. Reveal yourself now as the Son of Man, through the prophetic revelation of your holy word. Oh, we praise you. We worship you. Our heart exalts and rejoices and worships, for thou hast done great things. You have taken away the curtain of time, and let us see into your plan of salvation. Therefore, my heart rejoices to you, as the song goes, hallelujah, to your wonderful and holy name. Amen.